This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago, online at myfuturesadvisor.com. All right, first, USDA livestock economist Mike McConnell looking at trends associated with heifer placement in feedlots.
This report showed that as of January 1st, heifers and heifer calves accounted for about 39% of feedlot inventories. This is down slightly from where it was last year, although it's still, relatively speaking, on the higher end of historical norms, but it has been continuing a trend that at least we've seen in the two quarterly reports where the percentage of heifers in feedlots is a little bit lower than what it was the year before. And that might be signaling to some degree the fact that perhaps cow-calf producers are retaining their female animals for breeding rather than marketing their heifers for feedlots. With the strong feeder cattle prices that we've seen recently, there's still a pretty strong incentive for producers to market their heifers in the feeder market.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. We'll have contact information in a few minutes for Bob. But Bob, as we start the conversation, I might normally start with something like grains and row crops, but really, the excitement has been on the other side of the ledger, and we're talking about livestock now as we hit, again, some new records in live cattle, feeder cattle off a bit, and hogs higher on Monday. So what keeps pushing us higher here?
Well, at the moment, it's the insatiable appetite of the packers to continue the throughput and continue the numbers and bid up for the cattle. And it's not necessarily they're not necessarily as easy to find as they have been over the last couple of years, meaning numbers have come down and they're being forced to bid up. So at the moment, the feedlots are in charge. That'll flip at some point, but for the moment, it's exactly where we're at, and it's showing in the prices, meaning that, you know, the packers are continuing to have to bid up. Now, we did get a bit of data towards the tail end of last week, that being the cattle on feed report for the January report, that is, and on feed as of Jan 1 was pretty close to the average guesstimates going into the report. The number was actually posted at 99.1, and the guesstimate was 99.6, so only about a half percent off year on year, that is. Marketings were basically a push, and really the thing that drove the market again higher today was the placements number in December coming in at 96.7. Guesstimate going in was 100% of last year, so 3.7% less than the trade had expected in terms of the numbers year on year for placements in the month of December. And that, I think, is indicative that just the numbers aren't there yet for availability, and that is a supply side situation that's helping to drive the market higher. So there's multifacets in economics. As anybody who's ever followed any market would know, you've got supply side scenarios, you've got demand side scenarios that can help drive markets up and down. Typically, you try to find some kind of parity in those where things are a little bit calmer in the marketplace, as had been the case for a number of months going into the last, say, month and a half for the cattle prices. But clearly, it seems like the supply side of the situation has taken hold, meaning the numbers just aren't out there as had been expected, and the market's propelling higher. So if that continues to be the case, we do have another data point coming out on Jan 31, which is the end of this week, and that's the cattle inventory report, and that'll include big numbers such as quantity out there, quantity expected, but also it'll kind of break down into any kind of heifer retention. And I think the market's going to potentially take some clues off of that report on Friday to the extent they can to see if there's any sense of rebuilding. I don't feel like there is right now, but if there happens to be any data points in that cattle inventory report that comes out on Friday, then perhaps that shows perhaps that there is some kind of heifer retention. You know, maybe things will start to, at some point, moderate in terms of the gains that we've seen. But solid, solid market. And if you look at the dollars, you know, you're talking about posting record highs in terms of what prices things are trading at out there in the north and the south. That's a known factor. You're also looking at the cattle, I mean, the commitment of traders report that shows the CFTC data, which shows the managed money category, the non-interested, shall we say. These are just speculators, big speculators who are helping to drive the market up. Latest report that came out from the CFTC showed that those managed funds hit another six-year high in net longs as of Tuesday of last week. So they're clearly palms in looking to support this market higher. They must see that the fundamentals are structurally strong. In terms of the actual cash data points out there, the five area, 5-day weighted average, to the point about prices moving higher, ended up at about 208.40, and that was up from around 203.40 the previous week, so about a $5 gain right there. Box beef cutout, though, I think that might be the one, I won't call it a red light, but a yellow light, because the box beef cutout lost a couple bucks mid-session on Friday, closed about $3 lower at about just shy of 328. That was down from about 338 the previous week. So if they're paying up for the input, that being the live, and they're not getting as much on the output, that being the box prices, at some point you might think that that could be a bit of cold water on these rallies that we're seeing, but it's just not happening yet. And it's one of those markets, and it's not just this market. Any market that I've been involved with, most markets that I've been involved with over the last few decades that I've been watching these markets, you don't necessarily want to step in front of a speeding freight train. It just kind of feels like now that the live cattle market has just got a singular focus on moving higher, and it's something where rather than just step in front of it, because that'll just be fuel for the fires for those who want to be long, because every buyer needs some kind of seller. Instead of stepping in front of it, I think it'd be one of those things where you kind of wait for the market to tip its hand, which means it makes the new high, breaks, the break holds, rallies, does not make a new high, if you follow me there, and then it continues to fall from there. So right now it just feels like the market just keeps sustaining higher moves, and again, it's fundamentally sound. Also, though, one benefactor from this cattle market is the hog market. I mean, the hog market today ended up about 145 points higher in the April. June's about 170, and when you look at the board there and you see what it appears people are willing to continue to pay in the food service sector and also the retail sector for a pound of beef, and you know that another protein right next door on the meat counter is pork, and that's a fraction of the price of a pound of beef, you would think that at some point, if there can be any kind of process where you make a decision to get another protein, that you would lean towards pork. And I think that the big rally in the beef market is helping the pork market also sustain some gains. And it's also got some data points of its own that look pretty good. For example, the cold storage report that came out showed that the belly stocks were up 52% month on month, but down 39% year on year. And then similarly for just overall pork stocks, they were up about 2.4% month on month, but still down 6.3% year on year. So similar story where the product just isn't out there as had been thought was going to happen fourth quarter of last year and going into the first quarter of this year. So again, kind of a nice scenario in terms of some kind of fundamental foundation where these markets are going to still trade. They're going to move up and down. And even rallying markets are going to see some breaks here and there as there's profit taking and such, even maybe some technical analysis where those who are strong technicians, you know, look for some kind of overbought situation, and it's going to fall back. But nonetheless, with this kind of structure in these markets, it certainly seems that any kind of dip at this point is going to be probably found with some new buying. So we'll just see how it all evolves over the next couple of months.
Well, for all the excitement, livestock, not a whole lot happening on the row crops, at least positive, in spite of a flash sale to Mexico of corn, 139,000 metric tons, reported Monday morning. Corn market couldn't find positivity under that. Beans lower, wheat lower, even cotton lower.
Right. So those four all pushing a little bit lower on the day. Really, I think it's a weather market. So we know how closely we watch our weather down, you know, here in the United States during the summer months. Well, obviously they're going to be doing that during their version of the summer months down there in South America. And weather is the key. And over the weekend, they get a little more precip than had been expected in Argentina. And also the weather forecast changed a little bit friendlier for the development of the crop, adding some precipitation chances in Argentina also. So that, I think, is probably the main driver of the markets moving a little bit lower on the day to day. And then additionally, just if you kind of dig into some of the guesstimates going on right now for the crop down in South America, we're only, you know, less than 10% or so in terms of the harvest for soybeans for the bulk of Brazil, that is, at the moment, for anybody, for any sections that are cutting it right now. Still a bit of a mystery. The Ag Rural came out. They lowered their estimate of Brazilian soybean crop to 171 million metric tons from 171.5. So you would think that'd be a little bit friendlier. But again, that number is still above what the USDA expects at 169. So we need to see some kind of conversion and convergence of those estimates to gain a better feel for what the size of the crop might be. And then in terms of the Argentinian crop size, the USDA Ag Attaché came out, the one in Argentina, and they see the crop around 49 million metric tons. That's below the USDA's estimate of 51 million metric tons. The wheat crop, though, was pushed up a little bit, well, added about 18.1. So the same Ag Attaché believes the crop down in Argentina about 18.1 versus USDA's 17.5. And with that, exports somewhere around 11.5 million metric tons versus last year's 7.3. So in terms of the size of the wheat crop down in Argentina and expectations in terms of their sales, which is competition for us, both of those went the wrong way, and I think that's helping to push those wheat prices down. So we'll see how it plays out over the next couple of weeks and go from there.
All right. If we want to talk one-on-one, where do we find Bob Maurer?
Sure. Pick up the phone. Give me a call. Number is 312-987-2053. You can also reach out via email at bmaurer, that's B-M-A-U-R-E-R, at mandukatrading.com, or come visit our website at www.myfuturesadvisor.com.
Yeah, website again, myfuturesadvisor.com. Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago, joining us on today's Agribusiness Report.
CattleCon's headed to San Antonio, February 4th through 6th, 2025, where farmers and ranchers gather to shape our industry's future. Remember, if you ain't at the table, you might just be on the menu. Check out the latest in ranching at the Texas-sized NCBA trade show. Network, learn, and grow your operation. Don't miss this chance to steer the cattle biz in San Antonio, where the Alamo spirit lives on. Visit convention.ncba.org to get registered. CattleCon 2025, where the beef industry meets.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading, Chicago.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading, Chicago. Online, myfuturesadvisor.com.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Food prices up both month over month and year over year, according to the latest USDA Food Price Outlook and USDA economist Megan Schweitzer.
For all food, prices increased by 0.2% in December, and they were 2.5% higher than they were in December of 2023.
Comparing food prices for at home, groceries, versus food away from home, restaurant prices.
Food at home prices rose by 0.1% in December and were 1.8% higher than they were the prior year. And then food away from home prices rose by 0.3% in December and were 3.6% higher than they were at this time last year.
She adds that for projections for 2025 food prices, overall prices are expected to rise at a rate similar to this past year, and at a slower pace than the historical average rate of growth. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.